Now tonight I want you to open your Bible to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10. I have one verse that I'm going to read that will serve as a background for my message. In the 10th chapter of the book of Proverbs, it's verse 5. And I shall read that verse after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee now that we have this privilege of coming together in this assembly for the express purpose of worshiping Thee. And we pray that our hearts might be attuned heavenward, that our receiving sets might be turned on and dialed toward Thee, that we might receive the message from Thy Word that would be beneficial to us in these days that we have to serve Thee. May we be awake and may we be alert and may we be effective in our service for Christ. Again, we ask for those who are unsaved, for those who are unchurched and unreached and uninterested, for those, Heavenly Father, who have found themselves caged by Satan and satanic forces. May they be freed and set free tonight that they might go out this week and serve Thee and honor Thee and acknowledge Thee in all they do. In Jesus' name we offer this prayer and ask these petitions for His sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. And now Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son. But he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. I want to read the last part of that again. But he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. There is nothing more mysterious or mystical than the thing we call sleep. Someone has defined it as that period of rest during which all conscious mental and physical activities are suspended. Even though a lot of times we lie down when we're real tired and we go to sleep immediately, we often say, well, I went out like a light. But actually going to sleep is a gradual process. We lose our sensations one at a time. As we lie down to get ourselves in a position to sleep, we first lose the sensation of sight, and then taste, and then smell, and then hearing, and finally the sense of touch is gone. The experts tell us that we go through 5 or 6 cycles in an average night of sleep, going from deep sleep to very light sleep and back again. Somewhere between 2 and 4 hours in deep sleep. Seldom do we dream, the experts tell us, during the time of deep sleep. Now the average person, again the experts tell us, moves about once every 15 minutes during sleep. Now for a man who weighs 180 pounds, that means that he moves 720 pounds an hour or 5,760 pounds a night. I figured out that's why I'm so tired when I get up in the morning. Sleep differs from one person to another and it differs with age. The newborn babe generally requires almost 22 hours sleep a day. Some of them don't learn for a long time the difference between day and night. But 22 hours, the average adult between 7.5 and 9 hours. Not everybody really requires 8 hours sleep as we commonly think. In fact, the older one gets, on the average, the less sleep it takes. The average aging person needs only about 5 or 6 hours sleep a night. For some reason or another, males require more sleep than females. That's the reason a lot of our men get caught up on their sleep in church. My message tonight is simply asleep in the harvest. Asleep in the harvest. Remember the text? But he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causeth shame. I want us to consider first the importance of sleep. And I submit to you three reasons why sleep is important. First of all, sleep is important because it is universal. Sleep is essential to maintain life and health. When we sleep, the whole body is under subjection. That gives rise to the statement, he's a good fella as long as he's asleep. Some of us don't sleep enough. Sleep puts us all on the same plane. The shepherd is equal to the monarch in sleep. The condemned is on the same plane as the judge during sleep. The fool is equal to the wise man during the sleep. It makes the bereaved forget their sorrows, and the bothered and burdened in life forget their cares. Sleep is important because it's universal. Every living creature knows about the experience of sleep. The fowls of the air sleep. The whales in the sea. The creeping things upon the earth. The serpents in the slime pits of earth. The hogs in the hog sty. The sheep and cattle grazing on the hillside. Dogs and cats. Soldiers and sailors. Fools and philosophers. Bankers and bakers. Poets and printers. Paupers and princes, slaves and masters, all men, all living creatures, sleep. Sleep is universal. That's why it's so important. The second reason that sleep is important is because it's necessary. As water is necessary to the flesh, as air is necessary to the lungs, and blood is necessary to the brain, so is sleep necessary to the body. A king can live without his kingdom, but he cannot live without sleep. A rich man can live without his riches, but he cannot exist without sleep. The poet can live without his poetry, but he cannot live without sleep. The drunkard can live without his whiskey, but he can't live without sleep. The beggar can live without his bed, but he can't live without sleep. The scholar can live without his books, but he can't live without sleep. The painter can live without his paint, but he can't live without sleep. The musician can live without his music, but he can't live without sleep. The child can live without his toys, but the child cannot live without sleep. Sleep is important because it is necessary. The third reason that sleep is important is because it brings such a blessing and a blessed relief to the body. How wretched life would be if after a long, hard day's work, when our bones were tired and weary, we could not lie down at night to sleep. If during the hours of sorrow we could find no sleep, how miserable would our sorrow be? If indeed our trouble, our pains, our disappointments, our reverses in life, our problems, our burdens, our persecutions, our distresses, our trials, our heartaches kept us awake forever, how wretched and how miserable we would be. Sleep was a blessing to Abraham on the plains of Mamre. Sleep was a blessing to Jacob on the highlands of Bethel. Sleep came as a blessing to Daniel in the den of lions. All men, in all climates, under all circumstances, on all continents, know the blessed relief that only sleep can bring. One of the most excruciating and painful tortures that was practiced during the Dark Ages was the waking agony. When men would drive prisoners literally out of their mind because they never let them go to sleep. They marched them, they walked them, they pricked them, they slapped them, they beat them to keep them awake until they either lost their minds or dropped dead in their tracks. For you see, men cannot go on living without sleep. Sleep is important. But then, I want us to consider, in the second broad area of our thinking, the sin and shame of sleep. It sounds rather ironic after saying what we did about how important and how necessary and what a blessed relief that sleep is. It is important, it is necessary, it is universal, it does bring a blessed relief. But remember, my text says that he that sleeps in the harvest is a son who causes shame. There is a time for all things. The wise Solomon says that in his book of Ecclesiastes. There's a time to live and there's a time to die. There's a time to embrace, and there is a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time for war, and there's a time for peace. There's a time to sleep, and there's a time to stay awake. It is easy for us to see that sleep during the harvest is not only sinful, but shameful. Sleep is a blessing, and harvest is a blessing. But to sleep during the harvest is a curse, is shameful. So says the book. The nurse must sleep. But shame on the nurse if she sleeps while her patient is calling for medicinal help. The surgeon must have sleep. But shame on the surgeon who sleeps while his patient is in need of an emergency operation. The policeman must sleep, but shame on the policeman who sleeps while his city is in danger. The fireman must sleep, but shame on the fireman who sleeps while his city is burning up or while one cottage is on fire. The postman must sleep, but shame on the postman who sleeps while the emergency messages must be carried across the country or across the city. Telephone operators must sleep, but shame on the telephone operators who sleep while emergency messages are tried to be put through by people in dire need and circumstances. The engineer on the old train that's going down the track must sleep, but God have mercy on the engineer who sleeps while the train is making 100 miles an hour going down the track, crossing the highways and the byways on its way. The railroad switchman must sleep, but shame on the switchman who sleeps when the engineer is expecting the track to be closed for him to go on. The soldier must get sleep, but how shameful for the soldier to go to sleep at his post of duty. The preacher must sleep, but shame on the preacher if he can sleep in the night when his members need him to come and assist him. To assist them in the time of their need. The captain of the ship must sleep. But shame on the captain who sleeps when the storms are brewing on the horizon. The pilot must have sleep. But shame on the pilot who tries to catch a few winks while he's flying through the air. The lighthouse keeper must sleep. But shame on him if he sleeps and the lamps are unlighted. And the ship is making its way to harbor. Every mother must sleep, but shame on the mother who sleeps while the life of her baby is depending upon her being awake. The lifeguard must sleep, but shame on him to try to sleep while someone is drowning and calling for help. Old Jonah had to sleep, But shame on Jonah for sleeping on the ship going to Tarshish when God wanted him to go to Nineveh. The five virgins that Jesus talks about in the gospel according to Matthew, they had to sleep, but to their shame and to their loss, they slept at the midnight hour when the bridegroom came. Eutychus, in Acts chapter 20, had to sleep. But shame on him for sleeping while his pastor, Paul, was preaching. The only reason some of my members don't fall out the window because we don't have any windows. This young man fell out the window asleep while Paul was preaching. I say everybody has to sleep, but there's a time for all things. The disciples had to sleep, but shame on them for sleeping in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus left them to watch and pray. Remember, my text says, he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. I read about a widowed grandmother who worked as a hotel maid. And she was on the job bright and early at 6 o'clock every morning. One morning a guest came down and said to her, I see that you scrub these floors every morning. Yes. Well, I sure hope that on Sunday you get a chance to sleep in and take your rest. Oh, no, she said. I get up early on Sunday too, and I get all of the grandchildren and the neighbors together, and I take them to church on Sunday. The guest said, but surely a person who works 6 days a week is entitled to one morning to sleep. It keeps him on the go for the rest of the mornings. She said, no, mister. My getting up and going to church on Sunday keeps me on the go the other 6 mornings of the week. Yes, there is a time to sleep, but shame on him who sleeps in the harvest. I want to give you 3 reasons why I believe that it is shameful to sleep during the harvest. Number one, it shows a woeful lack of a sense of responsibility. You see, God has created us as responsible individuals. As Christians, we have various responsibilities that no one else can fill. We are responsible to God. We are responsible to the church. We are responsible to those about us. When we sleep during the harvest, we are showing a lack of a sense of responsibility. The second reason why we say it's shameful to sleep in the harvest is because, beloved, the harvest will not wait. The harvest will not wait. Harvest time is a crisis time. When the grain is once ripe, it must be gathered in or it would fall to the ground and die. Harvest time is a crisis time. When the doors of salvation and opportunity are opened, if we do not enter, they will be closed forever. When the gospel seed has been planted in the heart of the unbeliever, if it is not cultivated, if it is not looked after, then Satan will come in and choke it out, lest there be a harvest. There's an old saying that says we ought to hit the iron while it is hot. We ought to make hay while the sun shines. Beloved, I'm convinced it is now or never. Read your newspapers, listen to the radio and the television and all the signs and all of the events that are happening in the world today are pointing to the soon coming of Christ. Therefore, it is a shame for us to sleep in the harvest. I seldom ever read the paper in the day or listen to the news on radio or television, but what I'm reminded of Things that are happening today that my dad said 25 years ago, son, these things are coming. And they're happening faster than we would ever dream they could happen. It is much later than we think. And it is shameful for us if we can sleep in the harvest, because the harvest will not wait. It must be gathered today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. This is God's hour. God won't act tomorrow. God is acting today. God's time is always present. It is a shame for us to sleep in the harvest. The third reason, the harvest will not reap itself. The farmer knows this. Jesus said, "Say ye not, it is 4 months unto harvest. But lift up your eyes, for the harvest is already white." It's ready to be gathered in. In another place, Jesus said, "The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers forth in his fields." Beloved, there's nothing wrong with the harvest. There's something wrong with the laborers. The harvest is plenteous. The harvest is ready. The harvest cannot wait. The harvest cannot reap itself. You know, when the grain is turned the right color, the farmer puts everything else aside. And from early morning till late night, he goes out to reap the harvest, because he knows if he doesn't reap it, it won't be reaped. It will be wasted. It will die and go to the ground as nothing. Beloved, there are souls about us who are dying and going into eternity as nothing, but as a whole lot. For every man is made in God's image and in God's likeness. It is a shame for us to sleep in the harvest. Our week of witnessing began today, and some of us will sleep all through the week. In the time of harvest, it ought not to be that way. Robert Browning said, "Be sure they sleep not whom God needs. Be sure they sleep not whom God needs." I'm going to do my best not to let you sleep. Not to let you sleep a spiritual sleep. So many churches are like a graveyard. The living are sleeping above the ground. The dead are sleeping below the ground. Do not let them sleep whom God needs. For he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causeth shame. I spoke a while ago about the disciples going to sleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. 3 times Jesus went back and found them asleep. You remember after the 3rd time that Jesus said to them, "Sleep on now. It's too late." They had missed their golden opportunity. And you know what? I believe this with all of my heart. They could have wiped the sweat and blood from the Savior's brow that dripped off on the ground and puddled there in the Garden of Gethsemane. What a hallowed privilege that would have been. But God sent an angel to do what they would not do, for they slept in the time of harvest. God's going to pass us right by one of these days. God is going to pass us by. He's going to say to us, "Sleep on now. Take your rest. The time of opportunity is over." We need a harvest song in our hearts. Amen. We need a harvest blade in our hands. For he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that brings shame and disgrace. This little article, and then I'll be through. It's entitled, "Nobody But Nobody." Ted Somebody Thomas Everybody, Bob Anybody, and Joe Nobody were neighbors, but they were not like you and me. They were odd people and most difficult to understand. The way they lived was a shame. All four belonged to the same church, but you wouldn't have enjoyed worshiping with them. Everybody went fishing on Sunday or stayed at home to visit friends. Anybody wanted to worship but was afraid somebody wouldn't speak to him, so nobody went to church. Really, nobody was the only decent one of the four. Nobody worked on the church building. Once they needed a Sunday school teacher, everybody thought anybody would do it, and anybody thought somebody would teach it. Guess who finally did? That's right, nobody. It happened that a fifth neighbor, an unbeliever, came to live among them. Everybody thought somebody would try to win him. Anybody could have tried, but nobody did. To sleep in the harvest is to cause shame. We are faced, and I believe this with all of my heart, the greatest opportunity that we've ever had to harvest the lost souls for Christ in this community and in the ministry of this church. Shame on us if we sleep during the harvest time. Let me give you Browning's word again. Be sure they sleep not whom God needs. Let me give you God's word again. He that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causeth shame. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, we truly thank Thee in these moments for Thy timeless and eternal and blessed Word. We thank Thee that we've had the privilege to proclaim it once again. We pray the Holy Spirit would awaken us and arouse us and not let us sleep in the time of harvest, but disturb us. Keep us awake. Keep us alert. Don't let us bring shame to Thee, and to Thy cause, and to Thy Son, and to this church as we sleep through the days of witnessing and the days of harvest that are ahead of us. But may we get a harvest song in our hearts and a harvest blade in our hands. And may we go forth to reap the harvest that is white already, ripened and waiting to be cut down with a gospel scythe, to be stored in the barn of Thy goodness and mercy and love. Help us, we pray, to refrain from that shameful sleep in the time of harvest. And Heavenly Father, if there are those who have never been truly awakened by the gospel and have never trusted Christ as Savior, may they come to know Him even tonight. For those who need to make a move concerning their church membership, for whatever the needs are, we pray just now the Holy Spirit would speak and arouse and awaken and alert us to the days that are coming, days of difficulty, days that shall be disturbing and days that shall be perilous and trying, as Thy word has told us. In this week of witnessing, in these days of harvest, help us, we pray again, not to cause shame by being asleep. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.